It's not just its geographical position, as close to Lebanon, Syria and Israel in the south as it is to Turkey and Greece in the north, that makes Cyprus such a strategic location. And it's not just the political divisions with 60,000 Turkish troops guarding the occupied north of the island, where the Greek majority was until recently forbidden to go. It's more a question of the rich cultural makeup of the country that has enabled it to be a vital crossroads between East and West down the centuries. Between the European Union, which it joined in 2004, and the Oriental Byzantine world, which is evident, yes, in the art and architecture, but above all in the religious history and traditions which continue to shape the nation today. While the Orthodox Church of Cyprus, one of the oldest independent Eastern churches, remains the majority Christian community, the small Catholic population is divided into Maronites, Armenians and Latins, all three recognised under the constitution and represented in the Cypriot Parliament. The Latins, or Roman Catholics, numbering just a couple of thousand local inhabitants, plus some 20,000 migrant workers, form part of the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, which also includes Israel, Jordan and the Palestinian territories. That's partly why Pope Benedict chose to visit Cyprus last June, and why it was here that he met with church leaders from right across the Middle East to hand over the working document for the October Synod of Bishops. All of which explains why the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Fuad Twal, is attending the meeting in Nicosia and has recently been appointed an official member of the CCEE, or Council of European Bishops' Conferences. I talked to Patriarch Twal about the role the churches can play as a bridge between Europe and the Middle East, and about the impact of popular protests across neighbouring North African countries. Patriarch Fuad Twal, tell us first of all the significance of your presence here representing Christians in the Holy Land at this meeting of the presidents of Southeastern Europe.
Really, it was for me a surprise and a pleasure at the same time. When last year Cardinal Erede told me that they are thinking, he is thinking, to accept me as a member of this Bishop Conference of Europe, starting from Cyprus, because Cyprus is in Europe. I am in Cyprus, I am in Jerusalem, I am in Jordan. I can say we are in the Gulf, we are in the Arab regions, through the Patriarch, Catholic Patriarch of the Middle East, and through my bishop conference, which goes to Iraq and Gulf and all, with the Latin. So I think it is a good idea to make from Cyprus and from myself a bridge to put even the Middle East and the Church of the Holy Land with the European. It is nice that they have their own concern about us, about the Christians in the Holy Land. And now I think with the changes that we have in the Middle East, North Africa and so on, I think everybody must be interested, has some concern, preoccupation. We know that changes will happen, but we do not know what will happen after.
We've seen this wave of changes, of popular protests, particularly by young people across the Maghreb and the Middle East region. How is that affecting the churches and the people there in Jerusalem and in the occupied territories?
They are thinking about their moment, their time to follow this virus that started from North Africa, I am sure, because two or three days ago it started something in Hebron, and the policemen came with all the gas and not gas and so on, but it will come. Two questions. First one, what will happen after? So if they are looking for more freedom, more democracy, it is nice if somebody else can monopolize the changement, the manifestations. That's something could be good, could be bad. We never know.
Is there a fear that it may lead to a greater Islamization of the region or not?
We don't know, because the Muslim brothers and not even the Europe participated in this judgment. Nobody can say that he did something for this judgment. In the same time, we are asking ourselves about the international community. They never moved. Now they see and they say that this president, there were dictators and they must leave. And why before nobody pronounced these words? That's my question. Why it is a political of business and not for ethic or moral or conscience and so on? Now everybody is giving lessons. I think even Europe must, and the Occident and the international community must rethink their position, forget what they did once in the past, blacklist and whitelist, the good people, bad people. I think all we are bad and all we are good. And it is not necessary to make this distinction. That's a lesson for us, lesson for the politicians. To say that the friend of the past, they are not necessarily the friend of today, of tomorrow.